God's Little Brown Church Sermon Series featuring Pastor Andrew Chrysler.
Praise the Lord. Recorder's on. March 17th, 2024. About 44 degrees and overcast outside. Kind of like it's Vermont or something. Message today is on life and peace. These are gifts of God. And we're going to go through a couple of scriptures. Deb made a comment as we were doing a bulletin. She said, I've only got four passages of scripture this time. Like, yeah, but I still have two pages of scripture. We just did it in four passages this time. And I did look up the page numbers for the Pew Bibles this morning. So if you're following along in the Pew Bible, turn to page 429. We're Proverbs 3, beginning with verse 1. Proverbs written by Solomon. The wisest man who ever lived, because God gave him the wisdom. Scripture says that there was no one before or since as wise as Solomon. So Solomon here in Proverbs 3, beginning with verse 1, says, my son, do not forget my law and let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace will they add to you. Stop right there for just a minute. God's laws, God's commandments, God's instructions on how to go through life says, if a man keep them, he will live. God tells us how to live in this world. And it's by not forgetting his law. It's by keeping his commandments. In Psalm 19, it talks about how the statutes of the Lord are pure. The statutes of the Lord are true. The statutes of the Lord are holy. And I don't remember all of it. I've got it stirring around in the back of my mind. You know how that goes? Where I know what it says, but I can't quote it to you at the moment. But it extols the virtues of keeping the law of God and recognizing that God's law, God's word, teaches us how to live in this world. And that's what Solomon says here in the Proverbs. Carrying on. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck, write them upon the tablet of your heart. It's like, be diligent to put God's word to work in your life. Not just knowing what it says, but living it out. Verse 4, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Solomon tells us right here, grab on to the laws and commandments of God, live them out in your life, and trust God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. How many times do we look at a situation and try to figure out how God's going to fix it? I don't know about you, I do that way too often. Try to decide, it would really be good if God did it this way. Sometimes we tell God, God, if you'll just do this, everything will be fine. But God is the one who sees the end from the beginning. We need to learn to trust God no matter what the circumstances bring. To look back over our lives and see that God has been faithful all along, and God has brought us through some situations in ways we did not think that was how that was going to go. Just had a flash in my mind of the movie Hitch, where he takes the girl to Ellis Island and looks up her grandfather. And on the record rolls in Ellis Island, only to find out that her grandfather was a murderer. And he turns to the guard and says, that didn't go the way I thought it would. I saw that different in my mind. In our own lives, we have circumstances that we see different in our mind, how it's going to work out. And God does something completely different. And it always works out better than what we'd imagine, doesn't it? Because God knows what he's doing. As we learn to trust God, Trusting in the Lord gives us life and peace. Jesus said, I came to give you life and to have life more, and that life more abundantly. More abundant, more fulfilling life than what we had and what we had lined up. God has a plan and a purpose in each and every one of our lives. And He's called us and He's showed us in His Word, and He leads us by His Spirit to direct us. And as Solomon tells us here, that the goal in following the law of the Lord, or the outcome of following God, following His laws, following His commandments, is life and peace, is a calm knowing that I don't have to fix the situation. I'm not in control of the outcome. And that God is at work so that we can be at peace even in the midst of turmoil, because we all have turmoil in our lives. But as we trust the Lord, He gives us a peace in the midst of the turmoil. It's referred to as a peace that passes understanding. That's going to keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Go to Malachi 2, which is page 644. Now I'm going to start reading in verse 4. But Malachi 2 is a prophecy against unfaithful and disobedient priests. Now keep in mind, we've all been made kings and priests unto the Lord our God because of what Jesus did on our behalf. He's drawn us into a relationship to be priests unto Him. That's what the Scripture says. So beginning with verse 4, or I'm picking up in the middle of it, says, "Then shall you know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him one of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name." Stop right there for just a minute. God, through the prophet Malachi, He's talking to the priests that have been disobedient. He said, from the beginning, I gave these commands. I made my covenant with your father, Levi. I made my covenant that the Levites, remember, were they did not get an inheritance with the children of Israel in the land because God was their inheritance. They ate from the sacrifices of the altar. They ate, and their life was bound up in following the Lord, in seeking the Lord, in drawing close to the Lord, in ministering to the Lord. That was their portion. That was what they did. And God blessed them and used them. Verse 5, "My covenant was with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name." The Levites, at the beginning, sought and worshiped God. Remember the, the first two sons of Aaron. Aaron was the first priest. And the first two sons of Aaron brought strange fire before the Lord, and God killed them. And then his second two sons, which are Eleazar and Phinehas, those two I remember. But the first ones, I just read it the other day, but I can't think of their names at the moment. But the first two sons of Aaron figured they would worship the Lord their way. They brought something before the Lord. It says they brought strange fire. They brought an incense that wasn't what God said, this is what you're going to worship me. This is how you're going to worship me. They had their own way of doing it, and it cost them their lives. The other ones, though, when they saw that God was to be revered, God was to be obeyed, God was to be exalted, God was to be reverenced, when they focused on the Lord, God's blessings were upon the people. They were upon the Levites, and they were upon all of Israel. When Israel obeyed God, God blessed them. Then when Israel, you go in the book of Judges, and the people that had been guiding him to follow the Lord, they had died off. And then the next group did that which was right in their own eyes and worshiped the Lord their own way, or worshiped other gods, turned away from God, and God allowed enemies to come in and oppress them until they repented. And then God sent them a deliverer And then all the days that the deliverer was lived after God used the person to deliver them from their enemies, all the days that judge lived, they followed after God. And then that judge died. And they immediately turned away. So much is a danger still in our own lives. Do we follow God because people are around us encouraging us? Or do we follow God because we're following after God? And what's around us doesn't really matter. What's around us doesn't have the impact. We don't allow it to pull us away. So here in Malachi, we've just read verse 5, Malachi 2 up through verse 5. Verse 6 says, "And the law of truth was in his mouth, and justice was, and injustice was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and turned many away from iniquity. For the lips of the priest should seek knowledge, and the people should seek the law from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts." Now let's go back to what I said a minute ago about us being called as kings and priests unto our Lord. We are to be an example to the people around us of following after the things of God. Now, what does that mean? That means when we stumble, we need to let folks know, whoops, I messed up. But it also means that we don't allow other people's opinions to pull us away from the things of God. The lips of the priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth. As we're living out a life drawing close to the Lord, it's going to be evident in peace in the midst of turmoil. It's going to be evident in a confidence in the middle of troubling situations. It's going to be evident in a calm that comes upon us that we can demonstrate to the people around us because we have the peace of God in our heart. Not being drawn away, because we're drawing close to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Isaiah, page 499. 499, Isaiah 57, beginning with verse 15. Says, "For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry. For the spirit would fall before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness, I was angry and struck him. I hid and was angry. And he went on backsliding in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways, and I will heal him. I will also lead him and restore comforts to him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him who is afar off and to him who is near, says the Lord. And I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. Those waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace for the wicked." So we talk about life and peace, and God says, "I will give peace to him who is of a contrite spirit. I will give peace to him who is repentant. I will give peace to him who turns away from his wicked ways. I will give peace to him who draws near to me." But those who are wicked will have no peace, is what the Word says. So examine our lives. Do we have peace? Take a look. Examine. Take in the quiet times. Do we have peace? Do we have comfort of knowing that we are serving a God who loves us, who cares for us, who will be there as we turn? I've talked before about when I came back to the Lord after 16 years of not darkening a church door. When I finally broke down and said, "God, I've made such a mess of my life. But if you can do anything with it, it's yours." And instantly, I felt the comfort. Instantly, I felt like God had wrapped his arms right about me. Because I was willing to stop running. I was willing to stop, living a life of complete disobedience to God. Doesn't mean I don't struggle. It doesn't mean I don't have turmoil in my life sometimes. But what it means is when we are willing to turn to the Lord, when we are willing to confess, when we are willing to draw close to Him, He says He will forgive, He will heal, He will restore, and He will give peace. David is known as a man after God's own heart. David, who committed adultery, who committed murder, who was a violent, violent man. But when he got confronted, he repented. He was quick to say, "Lord, I was wrong." A man after God's own heart is a man who, when the spotlight from heaven shines upon an issue in his life, an issue in my life, an issue in your life, and all of a sudden something is illuminated to us and we recognize it's wrong, turns to the Lord and repents, turns to the Lord and says, "Change my heart, O God. Make me holy, make me righteous. Forgive me, lead me." Final passage, Romans 8, beginning with verse 1, page 761. Before then, we'll do a quick little recap. Solomon told us that keeping the law and commandments of the Lord leads to long life and peace. Malachi says that as priests, there should be the praise of God on our mouth, and people should come to us for wisdom, to recognize that God's ways are right and to live it out. Isaiah tells us that turning to the Lord brings healing and restoration. All of this in the Old Testament, all of this long before Jesus walked on the face of the earth. In a physical body, a child born in Bethlehem and walking the streets of Israel, or walking the roads and going and ministering in different towns, long before any of that happened, the words of the Lord, the laws and commandments of God, gives life. We are called to be a light. We are called to show the love and knowledge of the Lord, to live out the commandments of the Lord, knowing that God will heal the penitent heart and draw close those who repent and draw near to Him, will heal and grant life. Here in Romans, says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Stop right there for just a minute. Remember the law. God said, if a man does this, he will live. Yet in the law, it said there was so many, they had a sacrifice. They had an annual sacrifice, a day of atonement, to take care of all of those sins. There were sacrifices for transgressions. There were sacrifices for making oneself unclean. There were sacrifices for all of the things that they had done. Scripture says if a person did something that was against the law and he didn't know it, when he found out about it, he was to give a sacrifice. They had all of these sacrifices, this ceremonial law. Well, Jesus came and paid the price. He paid, fulfilled the ceremonial law. He fulfilled the requirement for a new sacrifice every time we mess up. He paid the price for every sin you or I or anyone else has ever committed. It says in Isaiah 53, beginning with verse 10, it says, when you claim His soul as a sacrifice for sin, when you claim Jesus' soul as a sacrifice for sin, the suffering servant, He, that is the Father, looks down and sees Him standing in our stead and is satisfied. When we say, "God, I thank You that You sent Jesus that Jesus was willing to go to a cross and bear the weight of my sin. That you opened the door, you made a way of reconciliation that we might boldly come before your throne. When you acknowledge that I can't make myself holy, I can't make myself righteous, but Jesus has paid the price for my sin. And we acknowledge that, and we are grateful for that, and we thank God that He made the way. Thank Jesus that He was willing to be the obedient servant. That God looks down and sees the suffering of His soul and is satisfied, and we can boldly come into the throne of grace. So we're talking here about the spirit of the life of, in Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death because Jesus paid the price for us. That the, verse 4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in those who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. When we trust the Spirit to lead us, when we say, God, my life is yours, my heart is yours, all that I have is yours. Lead me, guide me, use me. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Do we set our mind on the things of God? Do we draw near to God? Do we ask Him to lead us? Do we ask that He direct our steps? Knowing He wants to, are we willing to lay down my plan and my purpose? Am I willing to lay down my goals that God might work? That God might work in me and through me? Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. There's that life and peace again. Just as it said back in Proverbs that following the law and commandments of God gives life and peace, it says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That life and peace that we have comes in trusting God, comes in relying upon Him, what He's done in our life, what He continues to do, and knowing that He who began the good work is faithful to complete it. God's not finished with you yet if you're still drawing air. He is still at work. When we look in the mirror and we see our failures and our shortcomings and we repent and say, Lord, change my heart. Lord, draw me near. Lord, direct my steps. Lord, I want to be a faithful servant. Lord, I want to follow after you. Lord, I want to do your will. This happened to me quite a few years ago now. All of a sudden, reading that verse that says, if you don't forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. And it all of a sudden had the spotlight from heaven illuminating the verse and piercing my heart to where I said, Lord, I will to forgive. Father, work it in me and continue to go. Lord, this area is a struggle in my life. I want to lay it down. Lord, heal me. Take it out of me. Guide me, Father. Lord, make me like Jesus. I only want to do that which pleases my Father. That was Jesus' testimony. I so desire, so burn to have that testimony that I only do what pleases the Father. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind is God's enemy. Doing things our own way, doing that which is right in our own eyes, as it's worded in Judges and so many places in the Old Testament. Doing that what I want to do, rather than what God wants me to do, is an enmity, is an enemy, is an adversary of God. Lord, help me to be a faithful, obedient servant. Continuing on, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. For then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Oh Lord, help us. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Praise God. Praise God. Even when we struggle, even when we have turmoil, the Spirit of God dwells in us and is leading us and drawing us into a deeper and closer relationship with Him. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit, he is not His. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. For if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit which dwells in you. Praise God. No matter where we are on our journey, no matter where our journey takes us, the God, the Creator of the heavens and earth, who knit us together in our mother's womb, who has drawn us into relationship with Him. It wasn't our idea. Jesus said, no one can come to me except my Father draw them. If you're in a relationship with the Holy God, it's because it's His idea. He is the one at work, leading you, drawing you, working in you. Scripture says, it is He who works in us. He is the one who works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's God that works in us that makes us want to follow Him, makes us want to follow Him. And not only want to, but be able to, because He is the one who equips us. Praise God. In 1 Corinthians, Paul's talking, and he talks about, who are you that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands and falls, and he will stand because God is able to make him to stand. And for so many years, I read that verse, and I read that verse to say, who am I to put down how someone else serves God? That God's the one that's going to bring him through. And it was just relatively recently, it was the other day, you know how that goes. It was probably only like a year or so ago, but it wasn't an extreme long time ago, that all of a sudden one day I read that verse different. And I read that verse and I understand that God is the one who makes me to stand. I don't do this in my own strength. I don't do this in my own will. I don't do this in my own talent. God is the one who has given me everything that I have, and He is worthy of my praise. He's the one who gives us life and peace and life everlasting. It comes in seeking His face and in drawing near to Him. Lord, draw us by Your Spirit. Let us never be complacent. Let us never be satisfied with anything less than Your perfect will in our lives. Let us never turn aside to do that which is right in our own eyes, but rather, Lord, to trust You and to draw near to You. Father, that You be glorified in all that we are and all that we have. That You get the credit, You get the glory, because I don't want any of it. David, in one of the Psalms, and I don't remember which one it is, but David said, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. One of the songs I was playing earlier when we come in before service, after we get the computer set up, we go through some of the songs we have. And it was Don Moen singing, I just want to be where You are, Lord. I just want to draw close to You. Another song we played in that time was A Touch of the Master's Hand. And it starts talking about a violin at an auction. Last item up for an auction. And they're asking $1, $2, $3. Until an old man comes up and polishes it off and tightens it up and tunes it up. And then plays a beautiful song, and then it's $1,000, $2,000, $3,000. And the difference is the touch of a master's hand. And the third verse of the song talks about the lives of people that the world would discount. The world would cast away. But the master comes, and he touches them. I praise God that the master has touched my life, and I am not the person that I used to be. I was talking with my son and daughter-in-law yesterday. And we talked about me growing up. And me growing up was kind of I told them, they started laughing, it was kind of a cross between Swamp People and Gator Boys, if you've seen those shows. I'm a swamp rat. I have jumped on the back of an alligator. But God has me here. God has brought me through that convoluted, long, twisty, turny road. And He's brought me here. And He's going to carry me on until I get to where He says, that's the end. He continues to guide and direct my step. And He is faithful the whole way. God is the one who gives us life and peace. And when we find ourselves lacking that life or lacking that peace, we know where the source is. We know who to turn to. Lord, guide us. Father, we thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. You haven't cast any of us aside. But Lord, You continue to work in us. You continue to show Yourself mighty on our behalf. You continue to stir in our lives, and You continue to draw us close. We thank You, Father, that through You, we do have life. We do have it more abundantly. We do have peace, peace that passes understanding. We do have Your grace. We do have Your mercy. And You are continuing to draw us close. You are the one who is able to make us to stand. You are the one who is able to lead us in the paths of all righteousness. And You are the one who never gives up on us. Father, we thank You for it. Lord, we give You glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit glbcvt.org.